God has a special word for us today, and I hope that if you're near a Bible that you can see it unfold before your very eyes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you have not brought your Bible with you today, why don't you reach right in front of you, get one of those black pew Bibles, turn with us to page number 1323, page number 1323, and you'll find yourself at our text for the day. That's 1 Corinthians 15, where we'll be reading one of the most treasured scriptures speaking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm speaking on this subject and provided my outline for you in the worship guide, Rising from the Ashes. And of course, last week's news of the burning of Notre Dame's cathedral in Paris, France, has led many to see this tragedy is troubling symbolism of the state of Christianity today. Christianity is not only in the decline in the continent of Europe, but especially in places like France, it is all but dead, leaving many to wonder if there's even a need to rebuild Notre Dame's cathedral as a Christian place of worship. I know that hundreds of millions of dollars have been raised to do that very thing, but many people wonder why. When Christianity is less popular than Islam, and when secularism is more popular than Christianity. Some have said, yes, let's rebuild it, but I wonder if it will be little more than a museum or a community center for people of all faiths to gather, true and false faiths under one roof. Only time will tell, but one thing is for sure. Christianity is on the decline in Europe. And to bring it even closer to home, we're not far behind the continent. Christianity is on the decline in our United States of America, which has led me to preach this message to you today. How in the world can we rise from these ashes? I believe God tells us through the pen of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. You can read silently as I read aloud when it says, Paul speaking, "Moreover, brethren, I declare," or literally he says, "I remind you of the gospel which I preached to you." The first thing that will help us to rise from the ashes are timely reminders, such as Paul gives to this troubled Corinthian church. If there was ever a church in the New Testament that was like the church of modern day America, it is the church at Corinth. They had slipped from what the Bible said they were supposed to be. They had forgotten about who they were and what they were all about. Immorality was on the rise within the church's ranks, and infighting was common. It was a daily occurrence amongst the Christians there in Corinth. They had forgotten all about who they were and what they were to be about as believers. And so on this Easter Sunday, I give you a timely reminder. The first thing we must do if we must rise from the ashes of decline in our Christian faith. You know, so many on this Easter Sunday think it's all about the bunnies, all about the eggs, all about the snappy clothes, the traditions, the meals. But Easter, Resurrection Day, is about the fact that Jesus defeated sin, death, and the grave when he rose from the dead. And I think many of us have forgotten that. And the infrastructure of our churches, just like the infrastructure at the Cathedral of Notre Dame, is on fire. And if we do not come back to the basics, we are doomed. There's another thing that we must reclaim if we're going to rise from the ashes, and that is not only to hear timely reminders, but there in that same verses 1 and 2, value gospel preaching. It is interesting in that single sentence that comprises verses 1 and 2, Paul uses the word preaching twice. And he refers to the gospel twice also. But often what is abandoned in churches who forget their purpose is gospel preaching. The gospel means good news. And the good news that we share from this pulpit and from other sister churches like ours is that Jesus saves, that he will give you life and meaning and purpose. He will give you heaven as your home if you will trust in him as your Lord and as your Savior. But often, when churches forget their purpose, the first thing they abandon is gospel preaching. But there is a third thing we must do if we're going to rise from the ashes. And that's found in verses 3 and 4. And that is to be Christ-centered. So often we center ourselves as churches on everything under the sun except Jesus Christ. It is not uncommon on a typical Sunday morning to walk into a church and never once hear the name of Jesus. How far we have strayed. How we have forgotten who is central to everything we are and that we should be doing. It is interesting that Paul prominently mentions the name of Christ in verse 3 as being the most important, the most valued thing that we should have in our fellowship as believers. And there are two things that he tells us that we should focus on about the Lord Jesus Christ. The first is his death on the cross, when it says there in verse 3 that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. I'm told in Notre Dame's cathedral, somewhere beneath the rubble there, is a relic that they claim to be the crown of thorns that Jesus wore on the day he was crucified. It has not been authenticated. It is not historical. It has not been verified to be the actual crown of thorns, but it is respected as such, this relic that they identify as the crown of thorns. Beneath the rubble of what we do in our week-to-week church life, buried beneath all the bells and whistles, is the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. We must go back to the cross if we're going to rise from the ashes. I'm told that another artifact that is beneath the rubble there in Notre Dame's cathedral is a supposed piece of Calvary's cross, alongside that supposed crown of thorns. Have we forgotten that Jesus was crucified that he shed his blood for you and me. One day this last week, I got out of my car out here on West Washington, and I noticed on the pavement behind my car was the fresh carcass of a squirrel that had just been run over. And it sent a chill through me because I wondered in that moment, how many of us who gather here on Easter Sunday are not any more moved by the crucifixion of Christ than we are to see the smashed remains of a rodent on our street? Some of us have gotten over the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have forgotten about it. And when we do that, we find ourselves beneath the ashes of contempt, complacency, and callousness. We must rise from those ashes. But there in verses 3 and 4, Christ is mentioned not only for his sacrifice on the cross, but he is mentioned in the fact in verse 4 that he rose from the dead again on the third day. So many times we do not focus on that very fact on Easter Sunday. We get caught up on all the other things that the world tells us that Easter ought to be about, but we have forgotten what the Bible has to say about what Christ is all about and what we should be about. Speaking of the Bible, weigh every word carefully there in verses 3 and 4, because there is a phrase that is used not once but twice. When it speaks about the death of Christ, when it speaks about the resurrection of Christ, it says that both of these things were according to the Scriptures. They were according to the Bible. They weren't something that man dreamed up, that Paul just supposed, but Paul was drawing upon the authority of the Word of God when he said that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Bible, according to the Word of God, and he rose again on the third day according to the Word of God. But what has happened in so many churches and in so many Christian nations, including ours, is that we no longer value the Bible. And if we're going to rise from the ashes, we must once again be Bible-based. All the facts that we believe and practice come from the authoritative Word of God. But usually the first thing that we will dismiss in our modern era is the Word of God. We want to somehow or another synthesize it and update it and make it more modern and not respect the ancient paths that have been laid before us here in the timeless texts of the Word of God. And so it is not uncommon to go into churches today and not see a Bible opened, to not see a Bible opened even by the preacher. And that's why we are in the ashes of ruination. And if we're going to rise from the ashes, we must be Bible-based. There's a fifth and final thing that will enable us to rise from the ashes, and that is to be an authentic witness. In verses 5 through 8, we see individuals and groups who had witnessed the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. They had seen him with their own eyes. They believed in who he was. That word witness in the original language means martyr. Many, if not all, of the people listed in verses 5 and 8 died martyrs' deaths. Cephas, mentioned in verse 5, who is Peter, when they marched him to his cross and he saw that it was upright like Jesus's, he requested that it be turned upside down because he was not worthy to be crucified in the same way as Jesus. In verse 5, we read about the disciples, all of them, except John the apostle, died martyrs' deaths. They were all called on to recant their faith in Christ, but they did not. We read also here in Scripture about a group of 500 that had gathered to worship one day, and Jesus, the resurrected Lord, appeared before them, and they authenticated his resurrection by all saying that they had seen the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Just imagine if Jesus came into this service on this Easter Sunday morning, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, and we all saw him and there was no doubt about it. We were so excited that he was here with us, and we all walked out these doors to our homes, our neighborhoods, our businesses, and our schools, and we said, on Easter Sunday, April 21st, 2019, Jesus appeared to us at First Baptist Church. How many of us would stick with that story a whole year, or 5 years, or 10 years, if it was not true? You know, all it takes is one weak link in the chain, but all 500 of those people said, it's the truth. It's the truth. People do not die for a lie. We read there about James, who was also martyred for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the half-brother of Jesus, and when it came time for his execution, they beheaded him. He could have easily denied his faith in Christ, but he did not. And then Paul, last of all, mentions himself as an apostle out of due time. Paul also died by being beheaded. People do not die for a lie. These are authentic witnesses who had seen Jesus and had him come into their lives to save them from a life of sin. Years ago, a man by the name of Alfred Ackley was confronted by a young Jewish man. He asked Ackley, "Why should I believe in a dead Jew?" Ackley replied by penning the now famous lyrics to the song that we've already sung this morning. He said, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along the weary way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." Is that your testimony today? Could you say in Sri Lanka, being just 7% of the population as a Christian, facing terrorist annihilation, that he lives within my heart? Could you say in those 3 African American churches in Louisiana that were burned to the ground, "Oh, my God is real. I'm not going to stop worshiping him because he's alive. And the way I know it is because he lives within my heart"? If you're here today and you can't say on this Easter Sunday, "I know that he lives in my heart," you can leave this place as an authentic witness and say without a shadow of a doubt, "I know he's alive because he lives right here within my heart." All you have to do saying, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have done things that are wrong. I never get an argument from anybody on that. Everyone knows that they're a sinner. And Lord, I know that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. And I accept his free offer of grace today. I believe in my heart that he rose from the dead. Jesus, will you come live in my heart? And he will, right here today, if you'll ask him. Let's talk to him right now. Let's do that. Dear God, I pray for that soul today that has drifted. If they were giving an honest assessment of their life, they would say that it's in the ashes. Their marriage, their relationships, their future, it's all in the ashes. But God, today we know that we can rise from the ashes if we will put you in the center of our life, if we will believe your word, and if we will trust you. Father, I pray today for that soul who needs you, that they would have the grace to come forward and to make a stand for you. Father, I pray today for those who are already believers, but they so desperately need a church family. I pray that if you're calling them here into First Baptist Church, that they would come, knowing that we will rejoice, we'll be a better church because of it, and we'll pray for them as they come and as they link arms with us to make a difference in this world. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.